Turn your Bibles to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Verse 11 beginning is the text that we want to look at tonight for a few moments. I almost made it to the car before Robert caught me this morning. The few thoughts that I have, I presented them to our third tonight Bible class here a few weeks ago. Had lunch with Stan this past Tuesday, and I told him I had one more sermon. I'd like to present it sometime, but I don't know if I'm ready to do it tonight, but I'm going to do the very best that I can. The subject of this narrative that you read from Amos chapter 8 is simply, God has said there's going to be a famine in the land. And our aim during the course of this lesson is to examine this text and apply it to Israel as God intended for it to be. But in addition to that, we want to know the lessons that we can glean from this narrative that Amos, the prophet, chosen by God to tell Israel what was happening in their land if things didn't change. We read and study the Old Testament for a reason, for a purpose. Because of the great and many lessons that it contains that makes us better men and women, makes us better Christians. And as we study something like this tonight, I hope we can convey the idea that God wants us to understand and know as we search out these particular things. The Apostle Paul in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans said these things were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort might have hope. And so it's such lessons as this that we can rest upon and we can study and become better people. At the time of the preaching of Amos, during this course of the history of the Israelites, they was going through a period of prosperity. And in all of this prosperity they had, they had forgotten one simple thing. They'd forgotten God. They'd forgotten God had provided all the things that they were enjoying. Evidently, they had forgotten the admonition of Moses to the children of Israel when they come out of Egypt. And he said, you're going to be eating from vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to be living in houses that you didn't build. You're going to be drinking water from wells you didn't dig. Never let it get to a point, he says, that you think that I'm doing all of this myself and I don't need you, God. But these people soon forgot God. Things were good. Things were well. Read the book of Judges, and we're studying that on Sunday afternoon at Summer Manor. Rick's leading our study in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, we find the people of God as this time of prosperity. They were sailing along, but soon God would send things. They were depressed. They'd call out for guidance from God, and God would answer their call. He'd raise up a prophet or a judge to judge the people. Men such as Gideon and other great men of that particular time. They led Israel through this period of darkness. But this particular time, there was much injustice, and there was greed, and there was ease, and there was luxury among the children of Israel. Their religious background was much like ours today. Oh, there was a bunch of religious rites going on, but very little righteousness. They had set up their places of worship. There was idolatry at Dan and at Gilgal, Beersheba, and Bethel. And as a whole, the whole state of Israel was in a moral decay. It was disgusting to Almighty God. As much like Robert spoke this morning about our situation in our country today, that we are indeed approaching moral bankruptcy. We're going to turn the thing around and place God where he belongs, in his first place in our lives. We have to do that if we're going to survive. But due to the disregard of the teachings of Amos, the Lord now expresses to Israel concerning an upcoming famine. I look at chapter 8 and verses begin with verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, the Lord had Amos to write. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. In that day the fair virgins and strong men shall faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. Does reading that make the hair on the back of your head stand up? Can you understand going to and fro on this earth and not being able to find God? Going to and fro on the earth, the people looking for prophets, but there was none found. From sea to sea, from the north to the south, throughout the world, God's presence was not to be found. I was reading this afternoon from the work of Burton Kaufman upon this particular verse. And he said, and I kind of believe it also, that this is referring to the 400 years of silence from the close of the New Old Testament to the John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. There was silence in the land. And God was not to be found among those people who had rejected God for so many years prior to that. They had despised the prophets. You remember when Jesus came to Jerusalem before he was crucified, as he looked down upon those people from the 23rd chapter of the book of 37, he wept over that city and said, you killed the prophets. You brought a lot of these things on yourself. Because of the sins of the people, I must die and shed my blood that you might be saved. Yes, there is a famine in our land today. It's not a famine of God withdrawing himself from us, but it's a famine in our hearts where we want to accept God for what he is. There is a famine in the land. There are people who are going to and fro on this earth cannot tell you one single thing of what the Bible says. I hear people all the time say, I can't understand the Bible. I don't think it's so much I can't understand the Bible, but I don't want to understand the Bible. We had a friend we met in Texas, and when we moved to Gurley some years ago, he was working for the government, and he came out and visited with us, and in fact, he spent the weekend. But he made it very clear when the first time he come to the house, I don't want nothing about religion, because when the day of judgment comes, I'm going to plead ignorance. He said, I can't understand the Bible anyway. Famine in his life for the word of God, that which lifts us up and it saves us. How would you feel if you turned to look for God and couldn't find it? Now, as I spoke to the class a couple of weeks ago on this, this is a little bit like hell. You know, today we think it's not too bad if we're not too religious, as long as we treat our neighbor right and all of this. You know why we would say something like that? Because we eat God's food, we breathe his air, we drink his water. But I want you to know there's a famine of God in hell. There will be no God to hear you cry for help, for mercy, for grace. That's one place that God is not. Why do you think that the Bible talks about hell being a place of darkness? Because God is light. His Son is light. And he and God are not in hell. It has to be darkness. I read on, Jim Allen's sermon on what is hell like. He talked about how when the Bible talks about hell, it's a place of darkness. And it seems to grow to a place of outer darkness. The blackness of darkness forever. My friends, where God is not, there's darkness. And God is not in hell. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I want a God that will hear my prayers. I want a God that will touch me when I need to be touched by the servants of his. I want a God who will reach out and show me the way. I want a God that would take my hand when it's time to cross over the chilly waters of the River Jordan. But there's a famine in the land. In verse 12, it states they wander from sea to sea. Jerome, in his writings upon this particular subject, made this statement. They roam restlessly about the world and seek the word of God. But they find it not because they have killed the incarnate word revealed in the written word. Oh, they had instructions. They had mighty men who was raised up by God to instruct them in the way. And yet, as Jesus said, you kill the prophets. You remember the parable of the vineyard where the owner sent his servants. They killed and maimed. And he said, well, if I send my son, they surely respect me. I send my son. They killed him. You wouldn't accept the word of God. And Amos says to him here, I am going to send a famine on the land. You know, we might not be able to fully understand that. But what if there's a famine of food and water? What if there was coming a time when you had to struggle mightily just to get by life? What was a time in our lives that we might have to experience these things that many people in the world experience today? Maybe we could fully understand what God is talking about here. Here we get hungry, but I've never been hungry to a point of, you know, seeking after that food. I knew where it was at all times. But God says, I'm going to send a famine in the land. They wander from sea to sea. The word wander is used to describe the unsteady seeking of persons bewildered. They wander. They're bewildered. They're befuddled. They're looking for something. They can't find it because God says, you will not find me. There's going to be a famine in the land. Those who are looking for something that they don't know where to find. Some years ago, I was visiting my mother and dad at their place, and they lived across from the hospital. And I looked out the door, and there was an old man out under a scrub, and he was bewildered. He was lost. He didn't know where he was at. He would turn around and look, and he'd stop. And I finally went out, and I said, sir, what's going on? And he said, I'm lost. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where I live. I helped him find his house. But think about that now. If you was in this world, and you needed God, and you can't find God, be like that man looking for his home. He couldn't find it. He couldn't find his daughter. That's what God says is going to happen to you, Israel. That's what's going to happen to you. You'll seek me, but you ain't going to find me. What a terrible, terrible situation that these people have found. You know, a similar idea is expressed in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Here the apostle talks about those of us who will be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Similar to those at Mars Hill who erected a monument to the unknown God. We're looking for something. We can't find it. The religious world today is looking for something. But they can't find it. Not able to find it. Perhaps with the easy availability of the word of the Lord, it might be hard for us to understand this. In my house, I can turn my chair around at my desk, and I got a bookcase there with some of my books in it that I haven't given away. And I can put my hand on three or four Bibles. And I dare say each one of you has more than one or two or three or four Bibles in your house. I have Bibles that I can't get rid of. This is one of them. We don't understand that, do we? And my heart's breaking. I can pray to the Lord. When I lost my grandson, I could pray to the Lord. I lost my brothers and my sister, I could pray to the Lord. But just imagine, with all that heartbreak and disappointment, you can't turn to the Lord because He says, I am not going to be found. You'll see me. Today, the famine for the word is not imposed by God. It's imposed by each one of us. As we look at this text and look around us, we see another famine in this great land in which we live today. As I said, not one imposed by God or even natural elements, but one brought about by our own selves. Morally bankrupt. We see things that's going on in our country today that 40 years ago would never believe happened. Homosexuality had been accepted as the norm among people. Mixed marriages, men marrying men and women marrying women, that I've been heard of when I was growing up. The idea that marriage is not honorable anymore, just as long as you love someone, it doesn't make any difference, no matter what the Bible teaches us. Bankrupt. Famine of the Word of God in their lives. How terrible, my friends, it has to be. Again, as I mentioned a while ago, people say, I can't understand the Bible. But you know, as you look back, you can see that their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents understood the Bible. They were able to understand the Bible and to preach it. Why would God give me a book that I couldn't understand? A little research upon this particular subject, I found that the average length of a word in the Bible is 5 letters. 5 letters. I graduated from Tanner High School in 1953, and I learned how to count and to read. 5 letters. I believe with all of my heart that what you need to know to get from this earth to heaven is revealed in this word, and you can't understand it. You can't understand it. It may be that you don't want to understand it, but you can understand the Bible. We are malnourished when it comes to understanding the Word of God. You see, what we've done is simply this. We have quit hiding the Word of God in our hearts. You know what the psalmist said in chapter 119 and verse 11? I've hid your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We've quit doing that. We have quit searching the Scriptures. When did Jesus Christ the Lord has said, you're not looking in the right place? You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. We have quit seeing the Scriptures to whether these things are so that we hear from time to time. Wasn't the Apostle Paul who talked about some of those who were in Berea more noble than those in Thessalonica? In that they search the Scripture. From a Swedish word, I'm told that word search there simply means they ransack. I believe one of the translations says they ransack the Scriptures. Have you ever lost anything? You ransacked your house? Have you ever lost an important piece of paper during the course of moving or during the course of just living every day that gets misplaced and you have to look? That's what they did. They didn't take those preachers' word for what it said. They had to search the Scriptures. They had to ransack the Scriptures. They tore the Scriptures apart to see whether or not those things were so. We do not have that anymore. I wonder how many of us in this room tonight pillows our head at night from time to time and never open the Bible. How many? I went to see my cardiologist a couple of weeks ago, and the Bible come up in our conversation. And he said, you having trouble sleeping? I said, well, yeah, I do. And he said, Don't watch TV when you go to bed. I said, don't have a TV in the bedroom. He said, what do you do? And I said, well, I read. He said, what do you read? I said, well, I try to read 5 chapters of the Bible every night before I go to sleep. And he says, 5 chapters? How do you do that? You know? And he said, what do you read? I said, well, I read 3 or 4 chapters in the Old and so forth. And I told him a couple of stories that I just read about Naboth. And he said, man, that's fascinating. I didn't know that was in the Bible. Why do you think there is so much spiritual ignorance in the world today? You know? Because they will not open the Bible. And there's a famine of the Word of God in their hearts. It's their own choosing and their own making. It's because you don't study the Word. My friend, don't let a day go by that you don't read something from the Scriptures. Brother Gus Nichols on the Friday night class down in Jasper once told us that we need to spend at least 5 hours a day, this young preacher, just reading the text of the Bible, not counting the study to present lessons and Bible classes and so forth. And I know that those of us who would work for a living don't have that kind of time, but you do have time to spend a little bit of time in the Word of God. He gives each one of us 168 hours a week. If other people have time to do that, maybe we can make time to do it ourselves. Never let it be said that this congregation has a famine for the Word of God. Let us stand behind the cross of Christ and preach Him crucified. Let us stand behind our elders and uphold their hands as they endeavor to do the work of God. Let us encourage our deacons and our Bible teachers to continue to stress the fact that it is the Word of God that we're going to be judged by on the last day. Let us not live another day with a famine for the Word of God in our hearts. Let's study. Let's spend time with the Word of God. As I close, you know, it used to be said back in the 50s that the Churches of Christ was one of the fastest growing religious organizations in the world. I haven't read that in quite a while. But I did hear Franklin Camp on one occasion talked about those preachers and teachers in the years when he was growing up that stood in the pulpit, and if they preached anything other than the Word of God, they were called down from the pews. Because they were students of the Word of God. But now, technology, television, and so many other things has taken our hearts away from that which will sustain us through eternity with Almighty God. Is there a famine of the Word of God in your heart? Pray and seek, and you will find. You love people as you should love them. You'll help each other. That when this life is over, we'll enjoy heaven for all eternity. And all the work and all the striving that you do, as the song says, heaven will surely be worked out. You're subject to an invitation to come and present.
Entrance.